Thank you, John. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27 while I get us started in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the praise reports that we received tonight. I thank you, Father God, for the work that you're doing in our nation. And as we prepare to press into your word tonight, to seek your face, to hear what you have to say for us, your children, for this hour in history, I pray that you would just open up our hearts, Lord God, to receive of your word tonight. I pray that you would eliminate the distractions that surround us so that your spirit can come and speak to us tonight. This message you've placed on my heart is so heavy, and I've carried it for days, Lord God. So settle the things around us that we might hear your voice tonight. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. In your precious and most holy name, amen. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The Lord is calling us to come behind the veil. Behind the veil. So often we see God behind the veil. We see him encased in an unapproachable arena. We see him there. We see him still in this imagery that only our pastors or our leaders can go to him on our behalf, that only our pastors and our leaders will hear from him, that only our pastors and our leaders will have intimacy with him. But we go and we sit at their feet. Why? Because we want a piece of that intimacy. We want a piece of God. We want a piece of him that we can hold on to for the rest of the week. But the Lord is saying, come behind the veil. It has been rent from top to bottom. Because I want you to come into my presence and commune with me. Come into my presence and commune with your God. He sent his son, his only begotten son, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross, who would then 3 days later rise again. Why? So that we can have eternal life with him. But it is so much deeper than that. And so many believers are not taking advantage of what he has given us here in this hour, here in this day and age. Intimacy with him. We think, well, but if I have intimacy with him, I mean, okay, well, let me go talk to a leader about that. He said, come into my presence and have intimacy with me. Let me take you into the secret place and let me commune with you and pour my word into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit, man. Because it is through the impartation of the Spirit that we receive revelation. It's through the impartation of his Spirit into our spirit that we receive understanding, that we receive grace, that we receive strength in order to make it in the days that we're walking in today. Darkness surrounds us. And the darker it gets, the brighter we must shine. Because it is His life living in and through us. When we walk into a room, and I've said this, I probably have said this every time I've spoken, when we walk into a room, darkness must flee. Darkness must flee. That's how bright we are to shine. Because we have been so filled with the presence of God that He has so worked within us that He has poured and deposited so much of Himself within us that He emanates from us, that His Spirit emanates from us. His Spirit. If we have not gone behind the veil and communed with our God, His Spirit cannot emanate from us. Do you hear what I'm saying? If we have not come into a place of intimacy with our God, His Spirit cannot emanate from us. He is not calling us to hear His word from other people. When we hear words, when someone speaks truth from the throne of God, our spirit should be ignited like that. Amen. It's true. Because we have spent so much time with our Lord, communing with Him, receiving of the deposits, that what we hear becomes a confirmation to our spirit man. This is the hour He's calling us into. This is the place He's calling us into, a place of true intimacy with Him. I talked about the 10 virgins months ago. They lived a pure life. They kept themselves pure before God, before man. They were pure, but they could not come into the bridal feast. Why? Because they didn't have the oil. They didn't have the oil. The Spirit. The intimacy. You cannot come into the place of intimacy with God and commune with Him without the oil of the Spirit constantly filled, constantly being deposited into your spirit man. This isn't something that you can go to and get on Sunday morning. This isn't something that you can get up and spend 5 minutes in your devotional and go about your day and expect to live your life with your lamp full. This is something that we've got to press into, that we've got to come to a place that when we wake up in the morning, we are hungering for Him. And I'm telling you right now, if you're not hungering for Him, if you don't wake up in the night season thrilled that you get to spend a couple of hours with your Lord, it's time to go to your knees and repent before Him. This isn't a judgment statement. I can promise you I've had to do this myself. He's calling us into the deepest places of intimacy. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you've walked. He will take you behind the veil if you will avail yourself to Him. The veil was rent from top to bottom. That fabric would have been impossible for a man to tear. It was designed that way. It was designed to protect the church, the people of God, from the holiness of God. The incense was burning. The incense in the holy place. Only the high priest could enter the holy place once a year, on the Day of Atonement. And only in a shroud of incense, after he's gone through that cleansing process. The Bible says that our prayers are like incense. Our intercession is like incense before the throne. Our intercession is like incense before the throne. Do we see how important prayer is? Do we see the significance of what prayer does? It allows us to enter his presence, to feel the holiness, to experience him, to have him penetrate our bodies, to penetrate our hearts, to penetrate our minds, to penetrate our spirit man, to come in and cleanse the layers of our soul. Prayer opens the door for that to begin. Five-minute devotionals won't get us there. And that doesn't mean throw your devotional away and then just say, well, what's the point? That means press in, press in, press in. Those who have not learned to enter into the Holy of Holies, who have not learned to come in behind the veil, they will not make it in the days ahead. They just won't. They won't be able to, they won't be strong enough to make it in the days ahead. God is raising up a new breed of believers, those who live behind the veil. You say, well, you know, Ricky, I really haven't been doing this, and I know that the year is quickly passing us by, and I'm a little bit concerned about where I'm at. I got saved a long time ago, but I didn't adhere to these principles, and I don't know what to do now. David, King David, Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm that David penned after Nathan the prophet came to him and shared the story of the rich man and the poor man. In 2 Samuel 12, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. He had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own land and to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Now this is when David, looking out over his balcony while his men are at war, looks down and sees Bathsheba. She was beautiful to look at. David gives in to his temptation. Not only does he ask, who is this young lady? But when he finds out, he says, bring her to me. And the Bible says that he lay with her, and she ends up pregnant. So Nathan has been spoken to by God about the king of Israel. I can imagine what it's like to go to the king of Israel, but he is the prophet, the man of God. And as he speaks to David, David's heart was pricked, and his heart bled, because he saw that not only did he sin against Uriah, who he had killed to hide his sin, he sinned against Bathsheba by bringing her in, a married woman, but he has sinned against God. And that is what broke his heart. Psalm 51 is the song he's saying, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God. Thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. David falls on his face before God and cries out to him to create in him a clean heart, to renew a right spirit within him, to basically turn him around and put him about face with God, that he could deal with him. that he could once again penetrate his heart with his passion and his love. David was a boy singing in the fields when lions came upon him, and he killed those lions by the strength of the Lord. Why? Because he sat in those fields singing praises unto God while he tended his father's flock. All he cared about was the Lord God. All he longed for was time with the Lord God. He used his time tending the sheep to sing praises unto God, to worship him, to know him. Many of the psalms that we sing come from David in his time alone with God, communing behind the veil. David had intimacy with God, and surely when he looked out over that balcony and he saw Bathsheba, David had been away from the Lord for a season. His heart would not have been so quick to sin had he been before God that day. David sings in the Psalms, "Early in the morning will I rise up and seek you. In the noonday, will I sing praises to your name? As I lay my head, I will seek you." Day and night, David sought the Lord God. Day and night, as a boy, he sought the Lord God. When God delivered him from the lion, he delivered him from the bear, he delivered Israel from Goliath. The Lord God gave him those victories because he sought him day in and day out. When that boy came into the camp and he heard that Philistine coming at the people of God, he said, "Who dares come against the name of the Lord?" He was a boy. That's the fervor, the passion. All of these warriors stood before him, and he was shocked that they weren't battling this Goliath. I myself might have been intimidated. The man was 9 foot 9 inches tall. I might be a little bit of intimidated there. But David was empowered by the Spirit of the Lord God. He wasn't walking in his flesh. He was walking in accordance to the Spirit of the living God. He lived behind the veil. He knew what it meant to have intimacy with God. So if you come to a place in your life and you think, "I miss the intimacy with God," or "I haven't had it yet," do what David did. Fall to your knees and cry out to him, "Create in me a clean heart. I want to be a warrior in your kingdom. When Goliath comes at me, I want to get a stone and fling it at him, knowing that it is your spirit that will penetrate the brain of Goliath with that stone. It has nothing to do with me. I'm a vessel of the king." Warriors are created behind the veil. Vessels of light are created behind the veil. This is where he's calling us. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings. The Bible tells us, 1 Kings 15:5, it says that David did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. David got on his face before God, and he got behind that veil, and he made his heart right before God. And he once again rose up as a warrior of the Most High God, filled with the presence of God, because he humbled himself. He didn't resist the correction. He humbled himself, and he repented before God. He knew the only way he could have the intimacy with God once again was to get on his face and repent As intercessors, we repent, we repent, we repent for the nation. Why? Because we're trying to get the nation behind the veil. We're paving the way for righteousness to rise up in this nation once again. We repent, we repent, we repent. We've got to repent for ourselves, repent for the nation, because we are trying to raise up an army that lives behind the veil. It doesn't matter what your Goliath is. God will give you the strength to defeat him. God will defeat him through you. We have many intercessors today that are facing some serious Goliaths. So serious, in fact, they need others to come against their Goliaths. But he has given us the authority to do so when we come in the name of the Lord. Do you hear me? When we come in the name of the Lord, we have the authority, the fire of God flowing through us. We can't do it in our own strength. We will fail. David was doing things in his own strength. That's why he fell. But God hears the repentant heart. Repentance is a sacrifice before God. Repentance is as a sacrifice before God, cleansing us. Do we see this? Are we at the door of the temple, clawing our way to the holy place? Are we at the holy place? Let me behind the veil. The times we're in, the times are short. Those who have been pressing in for years, for decades, the harvest is coming. There will be those that come alongside us who just got saved. But the time is short. I'm telling you, the time is short. And God will need to heal them. He will need to save them, heal them, deliver them, fill them with the Holy Spirit, and advance them out of necessity for the kingdom work. The vessels of light are about to be released. The new breed of believers are about to be released. The fire you're living in, the fire that you've been living in a long time, it's preparing you to be a vessel who can contain the presence of God and take out the Goliath. Because they will come and they will mock you. They will mock your nation. They will mock your community. They will mock the name of God. But the Spirit of God will rise up within you, and you will take that Goliath down, and you will walk away with his head in your hand. Because he is calling you to a place of victory. And we won't enter the victory until we've entered the place of intimacy located behind the veil. Yes, it's hard. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard. Nothing worth having. Doesn't take a fight. Nothing worth having. There is nothing worth having that isn't worth fighting to gain it. Do you hear me? The fight you are in is pressing you into intimacy. You will see if you will embrace it, if you will enter in, if you will come behind the veil and you will press in. You will see as he begins to deposit the strength in you, as he deposits himself within you. And you will feel the presence of God, morning, noon, and night. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Spirit of God lives in you. Fight. Fight. Fight for your walk with Him. Fight for your place in God. Fight to be behind the veil. Fight for your children. Fight for your grandchildren. Fight for your fellow intercessors. Fight for the kingdom of God. This nation that we're living in today was created to be a beacon of light to all the nations. That's why the fight is so great to save her. Because the nation is to be a beacon of light. Fight. 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 With all that you have in you, fight. Fight to be behind the veil. Don't be found at the wedding feast, knocking on the door, when the bridegroom opens that door and says, "You can't come in." You will know it's because your vessel was empty. Don't be that virgin. Don't be virgin. Jesus came and he died that you might have life abundantly. That's an intimate life with the Father, an intimate life with your Savior. He didn't come for bench warmers. He came for warriors. He came for those who will weep before him. He came for those that will claw their way up to be behind the veil. Because that's where the intimacy is. That's where his presence is. That's where the Spirit dwells. That's where the Spirit dwells. When Jesus went to heaven, the disciples were, "No, don't go, don't go. I have to go so I can send to you the Comforter, the Spirit of Holiness. That's why I have to go." Why do you think the enemy has sought to stifle the Spirit of God? Because the enemy knows the power that flows through a man who has the Spirit of God. The enemy knows. He knows the authority they will walk in. He knows. They're the ones that take out the Goliath. He knows it. Come in where the presence of God is. Come in behind the veil and let the Spirit of God fill you up to capacity. and then come back in and let him do it again. Come back in and let him do it again. Because there is nothing in this earth that you can't overcome if the Spirit of God dwells within you and you dwell in him. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I pray that you go to your children right now where they are and that your Spirit will come down upon them, Lord God, and encase them in your presence. Encase them in your presence, Lord God. I sense those are those who are out there who haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They've been afraid of it. They don't understand it. But Father God, go right now and meet them where they're at and release the Spirit of God within them. Baptize them in your Holy Spirit that they might be filled and become warriors in the kingdom of God. And you can draw them into the intimate places with you. Because your Spirit has filled them up. Do it now, Lord God. Oh, Father God, there are those who have been craving this. Release it unto them, Lord God. There are those out there, Lord, show me that there are those out there that have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You think there's intercessors on here that haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes, because they crave God and they crave truth and they press in. But they want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they want the evidence of tongues. And I pray, Father God, right now that you would release it into them. Release your Spirit into them and give them a manifestation of speaking in tongues. And you just get down, raise your hands to him and begin to praise him and let him pray through you. He will do this for you. The most profound stories I've ever heard are those that knelt at the foot of their bed and prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord came and met them. And they began speaking in tongues. It doesn't have to be a big show, because this is about intimacy with your God. Intimacy with your God. Come behind the veil. I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In your precious name. Amen. Thank you, John.